The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you, this is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all, this is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore, you've been waiting at the door. And it's time to open.
You totally bet it's time to open. It's Dr. Val Kirkgaard here. We're celebrating 10 years of recording on this station, and 2017 marks our 30th year in radio, social concern radio as it is. And what we look forward to today is bringing you some a good kickoff for 2017. We've had Dr. Joel Wallach on at the end of the year, and then once again last Saturday. And now we have on a person who's very special to us. He's an insider with a great radio voice. He knows, let's just say that he's connected. We make up different names for him. He goes from Agent X to the plumber to, I'm thinking of maybe calling him the electrician today, because this guy makes things happen. And he does that with a great level of skill and understanding. He's been around the planet for a while, and he's been in all the places you haven't been allowed to be in. And he's sharing some of that with you right now. And as we go on with this program, I, as you can tell, have contracted the flu. And I really want to, I cannot tell you how sweet Lonnie Hogan-Miller and Jim Thomas you are. Lonnie Hogan-Miller sent me a package with some wonderful shea butter in it, with a really sweet little smile on the outside of the package, and I loved it. And Jim Thomas sent me something that I haven't quite figured out yet. I'll have to talk to him today and see what it is. And on his package, there was a little hearts drawn all over it.
Aww.
So,
doggone,
what can I tell you? It's better than taking out the trash. I've always held taking out the trash as one of my primo things, that if a man does it, he's just like, you know, he's just like wonderful. But little presents with hearts and smiley faces on them, and I experience your hearts, both of you, and I just love you dearly. And if it wasn't for radio, I never would have met either one of you. So I just want to say thank you. Or what, I would never have met the electrician here. So, or Randy, or any of this. It just wouldn't happen. Radio is something that I listened to in my ear when I was a little kid. We had a big console in the living room. The TV was just coming in when I was young. So my thing was, and I actually preferred it to television, I would lean up, I put my shoulder on the console, and I would just listen to Sky King and the Shadow, and oh God, they were just wonderful. Bobby Benson of the B-Bar-B, Straight Arrow, you name them. And my world was made up of heroes and detectives. And I'm still in a world of heroes and detectives. It's a thing, if you drawn a little diagram on what makes Val work, you would see that I'm actually an evolved, continuous person that loved radio. Randy says to me this morning, what if you don't, if you're too sick, what am I going to do? And I said, okay, I'll send you a script. That's what she's going to do. She'll send a script. She'll say that she'll do what she does, because Randy knows how to do stuff. She's very good at a lot of things. And it will go on. But I'm going to tell you that in 30 years of radio, I probably missed maybe 5 shows. Because this is my thing. And what we're inviting you to do is take a look at your thing and to keep developing it, not to shy away from it if it gets hard, or to get distracted by things that are almost good but not quite as good as you're working on, because it might be too hard to do that, or you might be too scared to do that. There's all kinds of help available these days for people to reach their full potential. I get a lot of it in the mail, and a lot of it is really good stuff because I know the people, and I know there's many different ways to go. So when you go over to our Happily 200 site, we're going to be collecting a lot of money for that site this year. We're going to be deepening everything that's on that site. There'll be resources. Like, as you know, people have been helping me out because of my cancer diagnosis. And those things that I do, that protocol that we're going through is going on the website. Dr. Wallach's programs that he's made in the last 2 weeks with us, those will be going on the website too. And Dr. Wallace has no problem thinking that people can live to be 150 years old, and I have no problem thinking that they can live to be 200 if that's the way it is. What we do know and what everybody stands for on this radio program is a quality of life, and that's what this show is about. And the quality of life, I think, is going to be changing big time. And before the show started, Randy was actually talking about how much of the United States went red, and about how all of this stuff that's going on, I'll let her put it into her words in a moment, but we're a radio program that works on dynamic dialogues of life today, and we're brought to you by Bragg.com, and that's with two G's, Happily200.com, TheConingCompany.com, DrVal.com, and 42Action.org. So if you happen to hear somebody being nasal or something like me, perhaps, or a dog barking or a phone ringing, each one of us is actually located in our homes in different parts of the U.S. Mr. Electrician, where do you live? And what, you live in California?
Did we lose him?
I think we might have.
I didn't hear him go out.
I didn't either.
Paul, are you there?
Call
the plumber.
The battery is giving up the ghost, but yes, I am a Californian, yes. Not by birth, but by choice.
Okay, I hear you. And Randy's in Florida, and I'm here. So, and Mike's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And when this show replays next week, it'll be in New York too. So, Randy, what's your first question?
Well, we had such good off-air conversation. You know, I'm just excited that we have Paul the Plumber back. Our code name for him. And, you know, there's a lot going on politically. There's a lot going on. We've had this thing going on in Fort Lauderdale yesterday at the airport.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm curious what the plumber's take is on it, but it just seemed odd to me, and maybe I'm wrong, somebody corrected me and said, no, it's not odd, that the Broward County Sheriff immediately went to Twitter and said that there was deaths at the Fort Lauderdale Airport. Why would law enforcement go to Twitter, social media? It just seems really odd to me. Wouldn't they keep that, like...
I sure wouldn't.
Right.
I would
the
think
last
it would be
thing
against...
I'm doing is going to Twitter.
Wouldn't that be against protocol?
What do you say, Paul?
I think he's having trouble again.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have to send him some waves.
Paul, you might need to dial back in from a different phone. I don't know. But that just strikes me as odd, out of protocol. It seems kind of staged or hokey to go. I mean, when there was the nightclub shooting, and by the time I actually read the story, they had every single person in the nightclub named, identified, and all their Facebook photos. When I think something is somewhat staged or hokey, there's just something really odd about it. They all of a sudden have the whole lowdown of the entire narrative. But yet any other investigation, murder or otherwise, it takes sometimes a year for them to investigate, and they're always very hush-hush about it all, right?
Huh.
So how do they put these narratives together so quickly in certain situations, and why do they take it straight to the airwaves right away? Nothing quiet, nothing secret, no investigation, no details being held back. Why? I'm very confused at this whole, you know, it just seems very
strange. Like you're more suspicious than confused.
Yes, suspicious, highly suspicious.
Yeah, I think it's highly suspicious, and I don't think it's, I think we say confusing because we don't want to get nailed for something, but
right.
Inquisitive. Well, since Paul the plumber is probably recharging his battery or having fits, I know he sounds like he's too calm a guy to do that, maybe what we talk a little bit about what we were talking about before the show started. What was your favorite part? I think my favorite part was that Hillary Clinton was going to run for mayor of New York. I almost gagged.
I can't believe that they would ever let that woman in anything ever again. Does she not realize that bars await her? And I don't mean the drinking bars.
Well, I think she's already enjoyed those bars, sounds like.
Yes.
But the point being, I had heard before that she had actually paid. Now, this is only a rumor. It hasn't been verified. I was actually going to ask the plumber to verify it.
Hello, everybody. It's Paul the plumber. I'm back on. Groveling apologies. My battery...
No grovel. We don't have time for groveling, man. We need to...
My battery died, and I had my spare, so I popped it back into the cell phone. I'm back. So I'm sorry for the dropout.
Oh, listen, we were just talking about Hillary Clinton. My favorite piece of pre-show conversation was the part where Hillary Clinton is going to run for mayor of New York.
Oh, yes.
Perhaps you'd like to share with our listening audience.
You want me to share my impressions about Hillary's next run for the mayor of New York?
Yes. Yes. Why can we not get rid of this woman, if you want to call her that?
Look, there aren't enough brooms available in the world for her to ride on.
So, thank you.
It boggles the mind that they don't give up. But she's had 40 years of practice. And as a consequence, I think she needs to demonstrate to the Democratic Party that, you know, she's still in the fray. And unfortunately, if she does become mayor of New York... it's not going to be a good thing for the city in terms of the crime rate that the previous mayor succeeded in basically alleviating. Look at Chicago. If she becomes mayor, I suspect that New York will turn into another Chicago because she'll open the floodgates of this mad liberalism of which she's one of the figureheads. And so, you know, New York is going to be in trouble. I don't know if de Blasio is going to be able to run against her, but let's not forget there's an amazing character by the name of Bo Dietl, a Democrat, who's going to be running against her.
Bo Dietl?
Bo Dietl. He is a very well-known, wonderfully eccentric pundit who appears regularly on Fox, and Hannity himself, his last comment was, well, Bo, if you run, you'll be the only Democrat I've ever voted for. But Hannity went on record as saying that if Bo actually does run for mayor of New York, Hannity will vote for him. And I suspect that he will, which is,
so
you know,
think Hannity would beat Clinton or Clinton would beat Hannity?
Yeah, you'd think so. But by the way, as an aside, have any of you caught wind of the information coming out of Sheriff Joe Arpaio?
You mean about the birth certificate or what?
Exactly. Okay, you are in the loop. Good,
hey,
I love it.
5 years ago, I was in the loop about...
Yeah.
Well, for the listeners, tell the listeners.
Yeah, tell them about how it's photoshopped, man.
Well, you know, the latest news is just technical forensic confirmation of the fact that the critical parts of Obama's birth certificate indicate tampering and forgery.
Truly. And they've been like that since he was elected president. It's been put down by Snopes, by everybody else, and yet I've watched video after video. They're on the internet while they move these parts around. They called him, they didn't call him after, what did they call him on the birth certificate? Paul, do you recall? They called him African American? No. Whatever term they called him on the birth, Negro maybe?
I don't know. I don't know what the definition was.
I think they put an African American on there now or something like that, which wasn't even a term then.
That's correct. That phrase did not exist when he was born.
Right. So the whole thing has been known for absolutely years. In fact, Sheriff Joe Arpaio actually lost his current sheriffship because of this whole thing. He was not reelected.
Yeah, he did suffer retaliation, but the latest news from him vis-a-vis the forgery is very recent. I think this came out within the last 2 weeks. I know I was in bed recovering from pneumonia when I caught it.
What all are they saying, Paul?
I don't know what Arpaio is going to do in terms of pursuing the situation, whether he's going to be more vocal about it, but it did appear on two networks. I think one, American News. I'm not sure it came out on Newsmax with and Blaze with Beck, but it did show up on Fox.
Okay, good. Huh. Very good. So could he possibly go to prison?
For
the forgery?
Or the deception?
Well, you know, here's the question. Who was behind the forgery? Who is responsible for the forgery? Who initiated the forgery? Was it an afterthought brought about by skepticism about, you know, his citizenship? Or was it something that happened at the time of his running for political office and running for the Senate?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Paul, because
the timeline has not been established.
But he stood by
it. Office. It happened before he went into office. They are talking. I recently have been reading articles on about how Obama he didn't really exist. They actually created him. That he was Barry Sitaro or whatever his name was.
So it happened about the time that he ran for the Senate?
Yeah, or before that. He's supposed to have gone to Occidental College, which I actually used to live next door to. I don't know about that, but he was there as Barry Sitaro, a foreign exchange student. And this information has been out for literally years. And it's been quashed once again. My friends have. I've actually had friends abandon me because of this, because their love of this person is so intense, and what they think he is or isn't. You know, it's just I have people I can't talk with anymore because they don't believe this, won't believe this, all this kind of stuff. So, you know, what do you say, Randy?
Well, we all know, of course, that when Hillary ran against Obama 4 years ago, she brought up the issue of the birth certificate.
Right. I'm saying this has been going on for a long time. So it's how does I don't understand how Congress and all these different people step over this. Sheriff Arpaio has had his life threatened over this, and yet, and now it's finally hitting the mainstream. Okay. So when did you first hear about the sheriff? Randy, how long ago was that?
Wow, Jerome Corsi wrote a book called Where's the Birth Certificate? And Jerome Corsi had come on the Alex Jones radio show and said that, you know, him and President-elect, or President, if we still call him that, to me he's the President, were talking about it, and I think maybe even, I don't know for sure, that Donald Trump funded a lot of that investigation. And
absolutely right. Trump tossed a lot of money at investigators to take a look at the reality of the situation. And that was at least 6 years ago.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So it's been known for a long time, and it's been ignored. Or I don't think it's been ignored. I think it's been blocked.
Yeah.
But we've got a new world coming, and I think, actually, I had heard a lot of rumors, Paul, that there was going to be a big surprise when the Electoral College opened up the ballots. And that was one of the rumors. Another one of the rumors is that the global currency reset has been hanging on. Do you know anything about that? It's been hanging on for certain things to happen in our government, and that once our government is in place, the reset will happen. Do you know anything about that?
No, nothing.
I don't either. I get a lot of news, and I get a lot of it. Anyway, tons of stuff every day I go through it, and I look for threads of information that goes through it. One of the rumors was that they had actually isolated the podium that was going to be used at the inauguration, where Trump was to be sworn into office, and they actually found it when loaded with explosives, and they were going to blow up while he was taking the oath of office. I don't know if that's true or not true, but I do know those people are capable of doing something like that.
That's a remarkable discovery. I've heard nothing about that, but that would be.
It could be a rumor. Okay.
Yeah, I hope it's a rumor.
They found it. According to this rumor, they found it and they disarmed it, and there was actually the podium had places in it where explosives were. It would have been very messy, and I don't know how they found it. And I don't know if it's real, but when I heard it, I thought, sure, they sure could do that. You know, they're capable of killing people. I actually, in my private practice, Paul, I'm a retired marriage, family, child counselor. I actually had two people that had been reprogrammed by the government that showed up. Did you see the movie Manchurian Candidate?
Of course, both versions.
Right. Well, these two people were like Manchurian candidates. One of them was the girlfriend of a very famous singer that got sent to me, and she'd actually had some trauma in the Santa Monica parking structure where somebody had tried to kill her, and the city of Los Angeles actually sent her to be deprogrammed from that and paid for sessions for her. And in the course of clearing up that man trying to murder her in the parking structure, what came up was electroshock therapy and whole stories about how she was transformed into a nun and taught how to shoot a gun and was supposed to kill people and stuff like that, and that she actually escaped. Well, that was pretty shocking, this whole conversation. And then it was the CIA, I think she said, that had done that. And it sure fit what I knew about from the Manchurian Candidate, so I was sitting there with my mouth flapping, you know, watching her go through stuff, because she was releasing charges from her body, and she said that what they did was they all wore Mickey Mouse clothes, like Disney, and they do electroshock therapy on her, and they did that so that people wouldn't believe her when she said they were all dressed up like Mickey Mouse characters. Then I got a second one of them when I was in Pasadena, the same thing, same story. And so I know that some of these conspiracy theories are true, and Mel Gibson's movie Conspiracy Theory, did you see that?
Yes, but all of these were predated by a rather remarkable film that was done by Warren Beatty called The Parallax View.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
The Parallax View, produced and written and starring Warren Beatty.
Wow, okay.
And it was a follow-on to the variety of conspiracy theories associated with the assassination of President John Kennedy. And I think it came out in the 70s, but it definitely complements the Manchurian Candidate concepts of a mole being preconditioned and mentally locked in to a given role, which would then be turned on at the appropriate time. Denzel Washington did a fairly good job of playing it. Lawrence Harvey was much, much better in the original Manchurian
Candidate. Yeah. Frank Sinatra too. I thought that was one of his most amazing acting pieces.
Where can you find an older movie like that? That's probably not on Netflix, is it?
Well, the Parallax View is worth digging out from Netflix, and I think, you know, it's compulsory viewing for anybody that has even been tinged by concepts of all of the conspiracy theories that are floating around us. But the Parallax View came into my head because recently Warren Beatty starred and produced a film called There Are No Rules, which I think went into theatrical release about 30 or 40 days ago, and he played Howard Hughes. So he came back on the screen after, I think, a 20-year absence. But he also did an interesting film called Reds.
I saw that a long time ago.
Fairly long ago. I said it about 25 years ago. But Parallax View, in my mind, is definitely a pioneering film in the genre of the conspiracy theories. Mel Gibson was a more sensationalized type of film. Parallax View was very, very dark and left the viewer with large question marks in their brains about the nature of government. The nature of the underground government that appears to surface once in a while. But the shooting in Florida is beyond belief for the simple reason that after the shooter having gone into the FBI offices to complain about what was happening to him, that the FBI did nothing other than confirm that the man was clean and then let him go.
You should talk about that, because most of America does not know what you're talking about right now. Maybe Val doesn't even.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Tell me.
He went into the FBI office, the shooter in Fort Lauderdale, correct?
Exactly. Right. He went into the FBI office local to him. He was disturbed. He confirmed that he was mentally disturbed, and he was being disturbed by mental imprints that were being imaged into his brain, in which he was being compelled to watch ISIS videos.
And who did he say was doing that to him?
It wasn't very clear, but he apparently pointed at one of the intelligence agencies.
He said that they were doing mind control on him, and
yeah,
he said that in advance.
Exactly. They're doing mind control on him, and they were compelling him, and he was powerless to resist, and he had to watch ISIS videos.
Right. It's totally
radicalization videos.
So I'm going to guess
that is
very
similar
to
MK
Ultra. If he was at the FBI office, then I'm just making a thought here that if he's complaining to the people who he think did it to him.
Well,
quite possibly.
what I can't fathom is how something as serious as this was not adequately pursued by the
FBI.
Very
easy. You don't want to interrupt the job that's in progress.
Well, you know, they gave him a clean bill of health, forgetting or ignoring the fact that he came from a state, Minnesota, that is a hotbed of radical Islam activity, and which has been the source of at least a dozen young men who have left the state in an attempt to join ISIS by various means, either through Jordan or Syria or Yemen, but mostly through Turkey. So the shooter came from that state.
I hear you. Do you know anything about the Batman shooter?
Nothing.
Because the Batman shooter was sitting in the theater up in the front row. He gets a telephone call. He goes outside, and then he comes in back in and starts shooting.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there's other incidences like that. So this thing where they act alone, they're not acting alone. They're acting in concert with somebody else, and they may not be able to even control themselves, like the guy was saying. I was surprised they even let that out, that he came and reported that. Was that actually in the news, Randy, or did you get
it's actually, which is wonderful, drudgereport.com, which is one of my favorite news sources, drudgereport.com has it as one of their biggest stories. It's in fact, their top stories, 5 people killed after gunman goes on rampage at Florida airport. He told FBI government controlled mind. It's right there. Forced him to watch ISIS videos. Attack may revive debate over security screening at airport entrances. You know, it's not about the airport entrances. It's about who's the criminal people behind creating the monster he turned into. Who did the MK Ultra? If people don't know what MK Ultra is, go research it. It's a real program. MK Ultra. People need to know what's really going on and get educated. You know, what can you do with that education? I don't know. Paul, what can we do with that education? Knowing about it?
Don't get microchipped under any circumstances, because that's one of the big ways.
We have ample evidence, and it's sad, it's tragic, but to a degree it's an indictment of the American socioculture. And that is that the American electorate is woefully uneducated and uninformed about the events that really affect their lives. And that's one of the reasons why Hillary had so much support. People suspended reality, or didn't understand, or ignored, or simply weren't informed about the incredible amount of distortion that was coming out of Hillary's mouth. But it's not just Hillary. The American electorate is just not informed about the political events, American history. If you ever want a good laugh, there's a fellow on Fox called Waters, and he does Waters World. And it's a tragicomic indictment of the American electorate's inability to come to grips with history and basically current events. And this is just another example. I'm not quite sure what the follow-ups are going to be. One thing is certain: the instant that Obama is out of office, I see and predict a dramatic increase in terrorist activity in the United States.
Why do you see that?
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
Because there's an assumed mantle of protection over the United States as long as what appears to be a Muslim president is still in office.
Okay.
If you really, really look at the history seriously, the suggestion that, to some degree, Obama was cultivated and cultured and funded by Islamic money coming out of Saudi Arabia, it starts at that point. No president, no sitting president, ever celebrated Ramadan in the White House. That never happened. And that sent up, as far as I'm concerned, a very strong signal flare about the reality of what was going on. That was then followed by the great apology tour throughout the world, apologizing for the United States. And if you take a look at Iran and the deal with Iran, and the news never got it quite quite right. It wasn't $400 million of cash that we paid. It was over $1 billion in cash that we paid to ransom the Americans. And it was ransom money in untraceable bills. And that money's now been used to buy anti-aircraft missiles, weaponry that is now being sent to ISIS, and it comes out of Saudi Arabia. But every indication, as far as I'm concerned, and there are hordes of people who will support this, but every indication is that President Obama was very, very soft on Islam, continued to be soft, and as long as he was soft on Islam, we would be benefiting of a mantle of protection from terrorist events.
Oh, got it.
The moment he's gone, I see a dramatic increase.
I've got to ask you about the 100,000 people, men, coming over the border in the last few weeks from Mexico. Do you know anything about that?
I think the number was 92,000, but yeah, it was a 37% increase over the same period last year. But let's add to that the fact that in the New England states, we suddenly had 6,000 Syrian refugees. This is within the last 10 days. And they were brought in, and the government attempted to suppress the information associated with the dispersal of these Syrian refugees in the New England states, specifically Vermont and I believe New Hampshire, but mostly Vermont. So the Obama administration is basically using subterfuge and deceptive tactics in the dispersal of Syrian refugees. And Syrian has to be in quotes because we don't know if they're Syrian. Obviously,
and they were mostly male, I heard, too. So they sounded like they were...
Well, this happened within the last week and a half, and people from one of the cities in Vermont, and I think it was the district attorney and one of the city officials, complained on public television about the fact that they weren't told about this. The government tried to hide the dispersal of the refugees. And if it happened in Vermont and the New England states, it's happened in other states throughout the country.
So the problem is that none of these people have been verified or validated.
It's impossible to do that. The intelligence community, head of the CIA, admitted in front of congressional committees that there is no way to vet these people. The best that can be done is to take fingerprints, take a photograph, some kind of interrogation or some kind of questioning or some kind of a silly perfunctory questionnaire that they fill out saying that, no, we don't have any radicalization in our family, or we are not radicals. We're going to be just pacifistic refugees.
Right. I'm suspicious. Also, our entire system is already overloaded. You yourself were talking about, yesterday when we were talking about what happened to your wife's insurance cost. Another thing that came up.
Oh my goodness! Yes,
you're right. And you know, just all the stuff that's landing in Trump's lap. It's going to be interesting to see how he handles it. I had heard, Paul, and you can tell me if there's anything about this that's true, that this was a piece of news that if it was false news, I was unhappy, and if it was true news, that he already wrote his first executive order, and that he had it in his briefcase, and he would the first executive order would be to repeal all of Barack's executive orders.
Woohoo!
I got really excited about hearing that.
That's true. That's true, and I think it will happen. The first 24 hours of the Trump presidency will demonstrate the fact that Trump has indefatigable energy. One of the reasons he won is he out-campaigned Hillary in the last 3 days before the vote. On one day alone, he made 8 campaign visits in 4-5 different states. The man has a source of energy that is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's called God.
I think you're probably right. And the first 24 hours of the presidency will demonstrate the enormity of that energy. But yeah, he's going to. I don't know how big the list is, but you know, we know that Obamacare is very high on the list because it's neither care nor is it affordable, and the increase in my wife's premiums was nothing compared to increases in the 80, 90, and 110% range that happened in some states. Arizona, 110%, Texas, 82%. Ours was relatively mild. It was only 22%.
Oh, but awesome. What determines that amount?
Nobody talks about it. Obamacare is simply a thinly veiled attempt to redistribute wealth. It is a tax. It's a tax on the middle class. And the tax goes beyond a tax because the millennials who really don't want to get the insurance are now being penalized. It's punitive. $650 penalty, you know, with your tax return if you don't have insurance, if you don't have Obamacare. That in itself is a constitutional violation. I cannot fathom.
So can we get our money back? Because I got penalized last year.
That's an interesting question. Will there be refunds for the punitive actions taken illegally by the IRS and the Obama administration? I don't know, but it's an interesting thought.
I mean, it's criminal. They took it. It was unconstitutional. So why would we not have a right to our money back? I want my money back. I'm mad.
There are some lawsuits currently, some active suits, class action suits, questioning the legal and constitutional validity of that punitive action on the part of Obamacare and enforced by the IRS. I don't know what's going to happen with those suits. Obamacare will definitely be repealed. The question is, will some of the elements of Obamacare remain as kind of a residue because we can't get rid of them? I don't know. You know, we're going to see. I personally lost 2 good physicians who just dropped out of the medical practice because they...
Oh, I get it. God. Look, I've got a special issue to bring up, and I think Randy will smile, because what I've been... I understand that Trump actually answers letters and reads all kinds of stuff, and James Timothy Turner is a friend of mine, and he has been in Marion State Penitentiary for, I think, about 4 or 5 years now. And he was president of the Republic for the United States of America, not of the United States for the United States. We actually re-inhabited the Bill of Rights and the Constitution back in November of 2014 in Windwalker, Utah. And that's where I get my ambassadorship from. Anywho, he got sandbagged and cornered and sent to jail as a seated president that was accepted by a very large majority of people. And I was wondering if there would be a way of getting Donald Trump to pardon James Timothy Turner so we could get our guy back. Any ideas on that?
Well, Donald Trump would have to be made aware of James Timothy Turner's plight and the injustice that he's been suffering for, the last 6 years?
Something like that.
Yeah.
He's really good. He's one of those do-it-yourself lawyers who studied a lot, and he actually had big settlements against, I think it was Alabama. Do you remember, Randy?
Oh, no, I don't have any idea.
Yeah, well, he actually had gone after the court systems, and he had huge bonds on them and stuff like that. And they owed him, like, billions of dollars. That's why they put him away. I can probably find some information on you about that, and you could probably talk to my friend Debbie. But it's like this whole, the last few days I've been thinking about how it's time to get Tim out of jail. I just got a Christmas card from him. And that guy has been, he's one of these people that believes wherever he is where he's supposed to be. Like,
really?
He's teaching Bible classes in jail. Things like
aww,
that.
Very
he tries
good.
To make the best out of everything.
If the information is presented, you know, with any degree of clarity to Trump, his administration, his team, you know, I strongly suspect that it would be seriously looked at and considered. The only, if we can call it a pardon, that I see on the horizon is with General Petraeus. I strongly suspect that Trump will very quickly move to pardon Petraeus, to bring him in to provide advice of military, operational, and strategic type to fight against ISIS. I think he needs Petraeus, but that's the only pardon I can see on the horizon. There may be others, but you know, I can only comment on that from a position of information. If his team gets the information and it's properly presented, I'm sure it'll be considered severely.
Okay, that's great. I'm going to start talking to some friends because I think this should be a thing that should happen as soon as possible. That man is owed billions of dollars, and instead he's eating whatever he's eating, wherever he's staying. You know, it's just it's a not right thing for me. Okay, you brought up.
Well, he's a relatively young man. He's not even 30. Am I right?
Oh no, he's
no.
older than that. He's like 55.
Oh, okay, I'm wrong.
James Timothy Turner. I could even send you a picture of him, Paul. He's a very dedicated man.
I'll look him up.
Yeah, look him. Also, look up Charles W. Wright. Now, there's a lot of things that they created. The FBI went after people, you know? Now, I have good luck with the FBI. The FBI and I have, we've had a lot of good connections in the past. I've had friends in the CIA and stuff like that. And so whenever I have these conversations, I'm not saying the FBI, the CIA, because I know that 1,000 FBI agents are as part of why Comey came after Clinton again.
Well, you know, the FBI is a wonderful organization. The troops that are out in the trenches every day
exactly.
are obsessively dedicated men, you know, who should be decorated, and they work quietly. The problem is that when their leadership is politicized, things go into collapse.
Exactly.
And we saw it very clearly with Comey. There is no question that that was a politicization in an attempt to pull Hillary out of the deep, dark hole that she and her husband had dug for herself.
How can you... This is the one thing about... And I don't know how you feel, Randy, but one thing I hold against Donald Trump, and one of the reasons I voted for him, mm-hmm. is because he said he would drain the swamps and he would put a special prosecutor on Hillary Clinton, and then he backed off from that.
Well, but he has to just settle down until he gets in, because otherwise the beat-ups of the Trump supporters are going to keep happening before he gets in. He doesn't want that, so he just got quiet about it. Believe me, it's not going to end. I don't believe that for a second.
It's not going to end. No.
Yeah, no.
So how
he just had
no.
to calm down because it's starting to hit all the mainstream news. All these mainstream sellout so-called reporters were making that the first story, and he needed to settle that down until he's in.
Chaffetz, Gowdy, ISA, Mahoney are going after her. They're reactivating the investigation. In fact,
I love it. Craig Gowdy, honestly,
it hasn't stopped, and it isn't anything that Trump can do very much about, because, you know, it's the Republicans, it's the Senate and the Republican Congress. But he temporarily pulled back, just, I think, for the sake of peace and an attempt at reconciliation. He recognizes the fact that the country is divided and the Democrats steadfastly refuse to do what's right for the country versus doing what they think is right for their party.
Right.
And that's tragic. We have to absolutely join forces. Unfortunately, I see the next 4 years of his presidency as 4 years in which he's going to be fighting the media and he's going to be fighting the Democrats. They will not cooperate with him. They will do everything they possibly can to put hurdles and obstacles in the path of his success. But it's not his success. It's the success of the country. And the Democrats seem to be blind to the fact that there are 300 million Americans who really desperately need support and relief from the 8 years of oppression.
Well, I'd add a few more years to that. I'd add the Clinton administration, the Bush administration, the Obama administration. It's all part of a trail that's been developed, and it's like the watching the pimple grow before it pops. And I say it got popped in this last election, but that pimple had been hanging around here working ever since Senior was president, and maybe even in subtler ways before that.
I think you're right. The otter trail goes way back.
Look, 1913, Jekyll Island, the bankers get together and figure out how to screw America, and they're still doing it. That they can actually loan money on houses of which they don't give you a cent, and everybody still keeps a straight face, that blows me away. Randy, what do you know about H.R. 192?
Give what you got, and then I'll go into it.
H.R. 192, well, I'm a little vague. I've been drinking cough syrup during the show, what can I tell you? H.R. 192, I believe, was 1932, and H.R. 192 had to do with the gold standard, and it had to do with all kinds of things. Franklin Roosevelt said, you have to turn in your gold. If you don't, you're still legal. We're going to come and get it from you. And at the time he said that, it was 20... I just heard something from the God above. It was $20 an ounce, and then they confiscated all the gold and made it worth 30. So this has been going on for absolutely ages. There's more, but we can continue. Would you be able to join us again next week, Paul the Plumber? We love you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I think my voice will be back to normal by then, you know.
Me too. I'll keep my fingers crossed. Okay, now I'm supposed to do this thing. I really do want to thank our sponsors. God bless you all. I'm going to be moving the sponsors to the end of the program. So, Protandin gives you healthy dreams and clarifies your blood. Coating Company cleans your ear tubes. Randy Shannon's 42action.org offers you assistance in pursuing your rights. There's just all kinds of good stuff. If you go over to our website at wakingupinamerica.com, you'll find it there. You'll find drvalerie.com. You'll find all the shows that have been recorded. They aren't listed properly in the session. We've got a new webmaster in. Thank you, God, Joe. I want to thank Joe in particular. I want to thank Mike in particular. I want to thank Ron Simon for really helping me out this week, and I want to thank Voice America and John Young. You rock. I want to thank Randy Shannon, who's almost got a record as good as I do, for showing up for these shows. We're here. We're real people. We call in from our real faces. Sometimes our phones are crappy. Sometimes they're not. It doesn't matter. Mike's getting all stressed because he knows I normally do things in a particular way. And it's not this morning. So
Mike, we love you.
Fine. Ron Hayes, God bless you. Thank you, everybody. And we'll do a universal cough for everybody so nobody has to cough anymore.
Exactly.
Thank you all for the service that you're doing to the American people.
God bless you all.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through, now your heart is open.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.